hello. Welcome to the Weekly Cooldown. I am Kami Jace, your host for another episode. If you're joining us for the first time, this is the show where we get to know the gaming news of the week and we get to know our guest. It is episode 116 of the Weekly Cooldown. It is February 5th. And you know what? It's Black History Month, which means that I'm legally obligated to not care about anyone else except Black people. And that's what's happening. We're going to take, the page from last year, and we're going to discuss Black issues with Black gamers, Black creators, and everyone else in between. And no one else, just the Black people. Sorry, everyone else, but not really. That being said, we're going to introduce, a good buddy was on last year for the similar segment. Please welcome Willie.
Yeah, I was just thinking that too. Like, oh, I was on here last year around this time as well.
You were on with a good Dakota. Friend of Dakota, whose name I forgot for a second. Yes.
Yeah, he's a good friend of mine and, you know, definitely all about the unapologetically Blackness and whatnot. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So that was fun times. Exactly. Fun times.
Well, it's time to do it again.
I'm ready. I was ready then. I'm ready now.
Well, we're going to ease into it because 2020 was hard for everybody, but most especially Black people and people of color, BIPOC, as we say. Mm-hmm. So we're going to kind of slowly dip our toes into it. We're going to take it easy. We're going to go through the rest of the show as we usually do, and then we're going to hit you in the face with the hard stuff. So to begin with, please tell us, what have you been playing this week?
I have been playing, of course, Destiny 2. That's been, you know, a game of mine that I love and enjoy, but I've also, started getting back into, like, I want to learn how to, like, be good at PvP, so I've been getting back into, like, Apex Legends, Rainbow Six Siege, you know, those really super competitive esports titles, because for some reason I'm just, like, in order for me to, you know, really, even though I call myself a gamer and everyone who knows me calls me a gamer, I'm like, it just really doesn't matter until I'm able to, like, own people in these, like, highly competitive PvP games.
Exactly. No, I know exactly what you mean. Because I feel very similar in that I want to be good at these games that, like, people who get massive amounts of people coming into their stream are, like, you know, that, like, those popular games, but I am not good at them. And actually, I learned recently from my good friend Kyle Royce, shout out to Kyle, that the reason I might not be so good at aiming in, like, Apex Legends is because I'm playing it on a TV screen and not, like, a computer monitor. And I was like, what do you mean? And he explained to me that, like, there's, like, some graphics lag if you're playing on certain monitors and, like, with FPS games.
Yes.
And I did not know that.
Yes, that's why, like, for all the, you know, people around me in my sphere who doesn't, you know, like, they'll think that I'm playing on a TV. And I'm like, no, I only play on computer monitors now because, you know, I've heard about, you know, like, the lag between the TV, but it's also, like, a spatial thing. So, you know, like, when you're playing in front of a computer screen, you can see everything because, like, the field of view and, you know, like, the monitors, like, everything is right in front of you. With a TV, it's bigger. There's that delay, but also it's, like, the slight head movements that you have to do to make sure that you see everything. And, like, for me and in the family I grew up, we don't do small TVs.
You're right.
So it's not as if it's like, oh, here's a nice, you know, like, 32-inch. We are, like, in, like, the 40-inch, you know, like, 50 and 60-inch. Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, I can't play on that. Now, it's very beautiful when you're playing, like, story-based games, you know, where it's, like, solo. I just want to, you know, get the experience. Like, God of War on a 60-inch screen is, like, set that for a weekend because you're not going to want to go anywhere else.
Right.
Like, when you're playing against other people, playing any PvP game on a 16-inch screen is like the worst. Do not recommend it.
I never knew that. And I always wondered, like, is it me? Is it just me? And I figured, like, no, I know what I'm doing. Like, I'm moving my hands correctly. I'm clicking their heads. I know what's happening.
Right, but right.
I guess there's just a bit of lag between me moving and, like, the computer or the TV monitor in this case, picking up my movements and properly, you know, relaying them to my eyes so that I know what to do. So I am in the market for like new monitor.
So basically what you're saying is you are going to be the next esports star you move over to a computer monitor because as you have all the techniques everything.
Let me tell you, as soon as I get a new monitor, everyone's out. I'm out for everyone's head. It's right. Over.
The esports scene is done. Get ready.
I'm dominating everything. I wonder if it affects fighting games too.
I mean, probably, because I know, like, I'm not super well-versed in, like, all PC details, but I think it has something to do with, like, refresh rate as well. Mm. So, like, and with fighting games, I'm not sure if it's, like, you know, I know, like, input lag, so if you're playing, like, on a controller on PC, that's definitely something, but I'm not sure if for, like, fighting games of quality, like, the screen didn't refresh in time. I got a little bit of lag, so I'm not sure if that has any effect to that, but definitely the whole controller input lag thing, that's...
I need a hitbox, as I've been told.
Mm.
But I am afraid to get one. Right. I'm afraid I'm not going to know what to do with it. And I'm just going to be like I'm back at the arcade, just kind of rotating the stick and mashing buttons and really not knowing what's going on.
Is that what they call the controller for like the arcade controller?
A hitbox actually is the one, how can I put it? It's the one with all the buttons on it, so there's no controllers. But there's another one, and I don't remember what it's called. A fight stick. There we go.
Oh, okay, because you were saying hitbox, and I was like, yes. Oh, in PvP,
there's a fight stick and a hitbox.
Got it. Okay. See, I mean, fighting games is not my forte. I do love, like, of course, Mortal Kombat. You know, I will buy every Mortal Kombat just to play the story, and then like never like. Play it again. But you know, I know that scene gets super intense.
I actually really like fighting games. I just have never like sat down and played one long enough for me to like be that great at it. Like I think that's my other problem with these kind of popular games is that I don't sit down and like play matches over and over and over again until I'm like, all right, I'm satisfied with losing 20 times. I'm going to go, like, process my thoughts for a while.
It gets easier every time.
I never get used to it. I'm just like, all right, I've lost 3 times in a row. I think that's it for me. Goodbye. Until next year.
Right. If I could stop myself from, like, get up to, like, 3 losses and then say, you know what, let me back down, I'm definitely more of the, well... Can I really lose 4 times in a row? Can I really lose like 6 times in a row? And every time it's yes.
Yes, absolutely. Of course you can. You thought different, but you were wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. And my KD definitely reflects that.
Oh, that's the worst. That's also the worst part for it for me. Cause you can never like, you never climb back up from that. It just looks bad forever.
It does. Oh. I miss the times. I know, like, one, like Call of Duty did it before. I'm not sure if they do it now, but like they had a feature. So like Call of Duty does their whole prestige thing back when, mm-hmm. you know, like prestiging was a thing. And there was like one feature, and last time I remember it was for like Black Ops 2. And they had it to where you can delete, like basically refresh everything. So you can start from zero. And I was like, this is amazing because though I still suck, like I don't suck much as I did before.
I really don't want a 15-year-old looking at my stats and telling me that I suck. I already know that I suck, and I don't need them to tell me.
Right. Like, I don't need any help with the self-degradation. Like, I got this.
I did.
Leave
it already.
Me alone.
It's over.
So if more games could do that, I'd be so happy. Like, let me start over. I'm definitely, you know, I'm not the greatest. I'm not the best, but I'm better than I was like 5 years ago. So yeah, let's forget that.
Yeah. Give me one do-over. Just one.
That's all you need.
Just
per
one.
Per game. Just one.
Per game. Yes, exactly. Right. Let me restart my Apex Legends. Let me restart all of my Call of Duties. Just give me that one do-over. I just need it. Please.
Please.
Thank you. So we're going to get into some, talking points today. We're going to talk about how, we think about being black in the gaming community. We're going to talk about companies, and we're going to talk about, the community at large. And we're just going to tackle some quick questions, some quick ideas. But before we do that, we're going to take a quick break. So relax, enjoy yourselves, and we'll be back with more show.
Take Up Space podcast is where we discuss self-awareness and growth while learning to advocate for ourselves. There are many instances where we shrink ourselves to make the people in our world feel comfortable at the expense of our thoughts, feelings, beliefs, and voice. Join us every Tuesday on YouTube and wherever podcasts are found for new episodes. We also go live on Facebook and YouTube on Thursdays. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Take Up Space Pod for more info. That's Take Up Space, P-O-D. Thanks for listening.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back to the show. So, we're going to get started with talking about being black in the gaming community. And kind of to start off, I wanted to take one of the stories we were going to talk about last week, but we could not because of some difficulties. But it kind of came almost at the right time. Like, if it had been another week like later, it would have been perfect. But it's good enough. So you might have heard of Ninja, you know, the guy with the blue hair or the pink hair, whatever color his hair is this week. He likes to play Fortnite sometimes. He's got like a billion subscribers or viewers, and most of them are probably under the age of 13. And he's a big old gamer, makes a whole lot of money from it. But here's the thing. Last week he made some comments, kind of doubling down, first of all, on his very strange stance about playing video games with women. Very strange stance about not doing that because he's afraid people are gonna talk, even though everyone and their mother knows that he has a wife. So, you know, it's weird. But on top of that, he said that it is not his, let's see the exact words. It is not his job to educate kids who make racist or sexist comments. This was in an interview with the New York Times. It says, let's see here. He added, it all comes down to parenting. You know, you want to know who your kid is. Listen to him while he's playing video games when he thinks you're not. Here's another thing. How does a white kid know he has white privilege if his parents never teach or don't talk to him about racism? If they're gaming and their first interaction with racism is one of their friends saying the N-word, and they have no idea what that is. What if it was on my stream? Is it my job to have a conversation with this kid? No, because the first thing that's going on in my head is this kid is doing this on purpose to troll me. If someone says a racial slur on someone else's stream, it can potentially get that streamer banned. It's awful, but that's the first thing I can think of. So, he's approaching this idea on a very kind of bottom line, my stream, my show kind of basis, right? Mm-hmm. He's streaming for people. Some people might be racist, but they're doing it to get at him. Not any other reason other than to get at him. So, you know, Ninja's comments aside for just a moment, the question really that comes to mind from his statements is, what do we want to see from bigger creators, more prominent creators like Ninja? He says it's not his job to teach kids on his stream about racism or sexism or what have you, but doesn't he have some responsibility for saying, hey, not here, don't do that, not in my stream? It feels to me like he's kind of abdicating a little bit of that responsibility, you know, away from his brand, right? And right. Back at anyone else.
Yeah, no, I mean, and it was one of those situations, especially for me, where I'm like, you know, let me really think about it, because of course on, you know, on a major instinct, like on, you know, just the instinct of mine, it's just like, well, that's a weird take. That's like, you know, pretty right. Crappy of him to say that. But if you think about it, you know, it's like, if we want to get super technical, no, it's not his job to educate. It's his job to entertain. That's why he, you know, chose to be full-time streamer. Like, mm-hmm. His thing is, my paying career is to play video games and have people, you know, look at me play video games. But, mm-hmm. You know, what you're saying about him having a responsibility, especially with the power that he has, the influence that he has, the type of audience that he has, the privilege that he has.
Mm-hmm.
It's a responsibility. It's a duty that I would, you know, I would think that he would want to, you know, own up to, or, you know, take advantage of, you know, because there's some creators, you know, i.e. Dr. Lupo, who I absolutely love, because of the fact where, you know, he is the first one to say, you know, I recognize I have privilege. I recognize that, you know, that there's, you know, disparity between, you know, different communities, whether that be black, you know, black, white, you know, rich, poor. I understand that. What mm-hmm. can I do outside of the things that I'm already doing right now, you know, to make sure that, you know, not only that my community, you know, is aware of these things and, you know, have like a proper mindset, but like, what am I not doing that I should be doing? Because, right. You know, he admits he doesn't know. He's doing what he thinks is, you know, the correct thing for him to do. Mm-hmm. And it just, you know, just as you said before, like in going through his comments, it's more as, at least for me, it kind of senses that Ninja doesn't exactly care about, I would say not just about like the racial kind of, you know, the racial situations that's going on. It's just more about his brand, which right. I find it funny that if he was so worried about his brand that he would, you know, say something like this, you know, yeah. It's like, it's honest, but it's also like, I would have phrased it a lot differently, Ninja, but right. You can tell in his response, it's more of just like, when something like that happens, I'm more worried about, well, what do I need to do to make sure that this doesn't get out? It's very similar to his stance on streaming with other women. It's like, what can I do to make sure that no one can spin this or no one can take this situation and tarnish my name?
Right.
Which is very unfortunate.
Right. But I guess to your point about him, like, saying what he said in this way, right? Like, you could have worded this totally better. It would probably not even be the three paragraphs that it is in the interview. It would probably be much shorter at just saying, like, listen, I do the best that I can in my stream to make sure that I combat racism, especially anti-black racism. Boom. Done. Question answered. We move on to the next one. Instead, you go on kind of a screed almost, like someone is accusing you of having to teach kids on your stream when, I mean, no one says that. Even his wife kind of backs him up later on, when, because obviously there was a lot of backlash from this story. Jessica Blevins, his wife, says, you know, if any of these people actually watch Ninja Stream, they'd know how many times he's spoken out about it and how he has zero tolerance for racism in his games or channel, which is, like, fine. But then she also says he just isn't holding a seminar on the topic. And it's like, okay, but, like, no one asked you to. Like, for the record, no one was saying that. He said it, like,
right.
He brought this on himself. So insofar that he needs to protect his brand, like, exactly. the confidence to say I stand against racism in my channel, period, point blank, like, that should have been the answer. And people would have been like, cool, a ninja's interview goes under the radar, it's in the New York Times, great, we're done with it. Like, and in the same way, he doesn't have, why should he have to worry about what people on the internet are saying about his relationship with other women if he knows that he's married to Jessica Blevins? Who cares about anyone else?
Exactly. It's, and you touched on it before. It was just like, as I'm rereading, like, the question, and it's like, they asked if he felt he could mitigate bad behavior. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's literally, you just double down with what you're already doing. Like, she says, like, you know, just like how many times he's spoken out about issues of racism, white privilege, and having zero tolerance for racism in his games or channel. He could have easily said that and said, I, you know, to take his answer and, you know, like, kind of, I guess, do, like, clarification, in which, again, I felt like after that went public, he should have been the one to tweet out, let me clarify. You know, it's like, I, you know, reading that statement is very, like, you know, not gut-wrenching. Well, maybe some people felt gut-wrenched, but it's very harsh. It's like, allow me to, you know, explain a little bit more. Mm-hmm. I do not tolerate all of this, you know, that I do this, that. It solely is not my responsibility. There's parenting, there's the education system. There's so many different things outside of my stream that needs to happen. I'm only one piece of a larger puzzle.
Absolutely.
And I feel like that's what I'm doing. I feel like at this point, that's all I can do to combat these things. But yes, they're, you know, like, and then, you know, just go on. Like, basically, it's like, she had the answer. Of course, she is also his manager. So, of course, she would have a different side. And, you know, I feel like she definitely knows what she's doing. So she's able to craft this wonderful response. So I just think it's very unfortunate that it has to, like, it's about him. And she, you know, of course, you know, they're married and everything. So, of course, you know, there's that whole, like, well, part of me is with him and da-da-da, all that. I need to make sure, because we're all, you know, one unit. I just prefer, like, these kind of things would have came from him, because, you know, while everyone knows that, you know, he is married, not everyone has their eyes on her as much as him. So there's probably most people who didn't even see this response from her. Right. And they're just now going on with Ninja said this, but he didn't say anything else.
Well, I guess that's the other thing. So it wasn't just that he said this one thing in this story. Mm-hmm. It's also that he kind of didn't double down on the parts he should have doubled down on. Mm-hmm. So instead of kind of taking it in strides and saying, like, here's all the things I've done and I will continue to do these things, and that's that, boom, brand protected. He instead boasted about his, like, his donations during, in May and in September, or excuse me, May and June and July during the protests. And like, kind of talked, I don't want to say talk back because that seems weird, but it's kind of talked back to a lot of black women who were calling him out and saying like, so on one hand, you don't want to educate, but on the other hand, back in May, you were using your platform to like talk about George Floyd and how much we need to educate ourselves and blah, blah, blah. So like, which is it? Like, which, who, what face are you trying to put on here? Is it all performative or do you actually care? And instead he's, I donated lots of money to blah, 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 blah. Like, okay, cool, but that doesn't answer the question. And also you're kind of being an asshole. Like, if you want that confidence in your brand to continue to stay there, and if you want people to know what you are about, don't make it performative. Like, come correct, as they say.
Right, right. And I mean, to answer that, you know, the overall question of what do you want to see from more prominent creators, I would want to see more of them getting educated about why, like, because like for me, I feel like Ninja and, you know, several other, you know, whether they be big influencers or small influencers, I feel like what happened last year, especially, you know, during that summer, a lot of them probably felt like I'm doing like a great service by saying, you know, by putting in like the link to the Black Lives Matter and donate to these organizations, donate to, you know, help these you know, protesters who were arrested, help them get out, you know, for, you know, something that they're constitutionally entitled to. Some of them felt like, oh no, I did my part. I did my part. I wasn't able to protest, but I donated money. And it's like, okay, you know, I'm not going to fault you for, you know, thinking that, you know, money is what, you know, is what helps. Like, money was your part, you know, what in your idea, in your mind, that's what you did to help. I need you to do a little bit more research and understand why money is not enough. I need you to understand why your voice as, you know, a prominent, you know, figure in the gaming space, a space that, you know, we all know is, you know, as wonderful as it is, it can be very toxic, very divisive, very, you know, discriminatory, whatever you want to say, whatever you want to call it. It can be all of those. And as someone with power, as someone with influence, you know, going through and, you know, making it abundantly clear to your audience, even during your stream, like, you know, if, for example, you do encounter that. So that example, he's like, oh, someone in the stream, you know, drops the N-word, you know, and like, well, what am I supposed to do? You stop playing the game, you go on full face cam, and you talk about why that is not okay. Right. And even in your limited knowledge, you know, it's like you talk about why that's not okay and how you don't tolerate it. Like, you know, and I can't say that that Ninja's never done that. I don't specifically tune into his streams, but that's what needs to happen. That's what needs to, you know, it's like, yes, your audience is there, you know, to watch you play games and everything. But when it comes time to be serious, like, you either need to be serious or, you know, then you need to just fall back. And, you know, because the donating the money to the organizations and, you know, I donated money, that's not going to last very long. That's no one's going to accept that, you know, for
it's a nice gesture. And if you were really proud of doing such a thing, you don't like boast about it, right? You do it and you move on. And
what's that thing they say about charity? That it's not charity if you're like bragging about it or something.
Right. Exactly. And it's also not charity if you're like pushing back against black women saying like, should I not have donated that money? Like, screw you, guy. Like, you don't need to do that. Why would you do that? And to your point about getting serious, I think back to like TV shows, like, sitcoms, where they have to deal with a really serious issue, like drugs or sex or crime or racism. And, you know, throughout the show, it's like, haha, tee hee for 10 minutes, but then there's like a 20 minute stretch where they take on the serious issue. And then the, you know, the episode ends with like a wah, 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 wah. And, you know, everyone's kind of sad that something happened. It's the same idea, right? You can take a moment. You don't have to, of course, but you can take a moment to say, hey, some really heavy shit's going down in the Black community. Don't know if you heard, but here's the details. Here's what you can do. Here's what we can do as a community. And then, like, you know, get on either get on with the game or save it for the end or something like that, right? Like, you can, you can still protect your brand, be an ally, and not have it be extra performative. Like, it doesn't have to be a performance.
I agree.
Come on, Ninja, get with it.
Right. You know, and it's in, you know, this isn't just about, you know, like Ninja. I feel like there's several, like several other prominent creators that, you know, I mean, there's, you know, how many prominent creators out there? But I just, you know, in my, you know, social media feeds, it just seems like they're like other people who follow other creators. They feel that there's this sense of, you know, performative action happening from these prominent creators, and they're not calling them out specifically, but they're calling out the, it's funny how all you've mentioned about, you know, what's going on is hashtag Black Lives Matter, or you donated, or, you know, you're saying something, but you're not doing enough. You know, you're being very safe about it. And, you know, as things are going, you know, playing things the safe way, is, I mean, it's not acceptable, but I just hate the way that the way that phrase says, but it's just like, out of everything that you can do, playing it safe is not going to get progress. It's not going to make progress, the progress that I'm sure we all want to see. So it's time to, you know, push the boundaries just a little bit more. And, you know, what you've been doing before, it may not cut it. You know, you may have to, you know, put your foot out just to stick your neck out just a little bit further to make it abundantly clear what your stance is and, you know, how serious you are about, you know, equality for all.
Yeah. And so I guess to answer the question as well, what do you want to see from more prominent creators? Just the willingness to kind of, as you say, stick your neck out a little bit further and show me and show other Black kids who might be watching you and just your definite white audience that you care about what's going on and not just beyond like a kind of protective performative stance, but like you deeply do care and don't be surprised if people come at you when you don't show that. Like, I'm sorry. It's
right.
It's kind of what it is. It's the willingness to admit, I guess, that you care, right? And that it's more than just, you know, your stream, your brand. It's, there's lives at stake, potentially.
Exactly.
Get with it. Figure it out.
Just get with the program.
Get with it. To that end, we are going to move on to the next question we have here. One that you actually came up with, and I appreciate.
I was inspired.
Inspired. I realized that one of the stories we're going to talk about here, happened. I just didn't know how to speak about it. And then you linked another story that happened, and I was like, ah, yes. That is how. So the question posed is, what do you think about companies supporting Black Lives Matter / diversity? And we have kind of three stories here. So back in Facebook, back in December, Facebook launched a Black creator program. Just this week, Apex Legends gave players a free Black Lives Matter emblem, which is very cool. It's just a fist, raised in solidarity. And sometime last week, Activision announced, or proposed, I guess, that they will refuse to adopt diverse hiring practices across the company. So there's like a lot going on here. So to kind of reach as far back as we can with the Facebook launching the Black Creator Program, like, I think, there's another company, probably Twitch, did something similar, where they kind of hosted this Black panel, right? and had wanted Black people to discuss and share and all that stuff. And that feels good, but it happened just on the cusp, just after we learned about George Floyd and Breonna Taylor back in the summer. So again, it feels like good, great idea, but it feels performative. But the fact that Facebook decided to do it kind of during an off time, let's say, this was announced back in, I believe, December sometime. It seems like they are being fairly genuine.
I mean, for me, and, you know, and this is going to sound like, because, you know, I do actually stream on Facebook as well. It's a great, it's great that they've done this. I just want to see, for me, it's like, I just want to see kind of like, well, what, and because I know it's not different than any other, you know, like their creator program, creating partnerships. Sure. You know, I wish that they can explain a little bit more, you know, as to, you know, why they're launched, like why this program is needed. And I feel like, you know, this is one part of my answer to, you know, what do I think that companies, you know, what about the companies supporting Black Lives Matter and diversity. A lot of them are tailoring off of what's happened, like what has happened in response to it. So, like, you know, we saw overwhelmingly support from a lot of companies speak out about, you know, injustice and, you know, racial injustice, you know, in response to what happened with George Floyd. Right. Why do we continue to wait until a tragic event happens for, you know, the support to start pouring in from companies? There are, you know, there are some other gaming companies out there where, you know, I feel like, you know, some of them, you know, while some of them have stopped, like right after they're like, oh, it's with the times, you know, very performative. There's others where it's like, hey, by the way, before you forget, we're still about this, you know, we're still about diversity, informing you that, you know, while that, you know, that moment has, you know, passed for a lot of you guys, it has not with us. Yes. And this is what we're doing to keep the conversation going to where, you know, we may not be talking about it anymore, but it is always a thought in your head. And unfortunately, I feel like without a, you know, like a serious in-depth conversation about why this Black creator program is needed, especially in the live stream space. It's just going off, and especially with it rolling out, you know, even though, you know, this is our month, you know, Black History Month, you know, we're all about it. I feel like it, for some people, it's not, the message of why we need it is not coming across as powerful as it could be.
Sure. That's so, absolutely true.
It's very bittersweet for me.
No, absolutely. And I've never wanted to trust Facebook that much, to be quite honest. But you have a point in that, you know, even if this is kind of not necessarily on the heels of a tragic event or during Black History Month itself, it is still kind of like, this is the first we've heard of it. You know, you haven't spoken about this constantly over a long period of time, at least not openly. I mean, it feels again like a little bit performative, not necessarily like you are and you have been about it for years. It just feels like this is the year we do this because all of these bad things happened, but maybe let's roll it out in December, not in, you know, not in the summer, because we don't want to look completely performative.
Right. And I mean, it's a step above, you know, the standard performative, because, you know, with these creators, and I mean, I'm not sure about the details or anything, but I think of any streaming, like streaming partnership as a company investing into, you know, their partners, their creators. So, you know, on the back end, you know, it's like Facebook is saying, you know, we're choosing this person as, you know, like I guess in a sense, like as an ambassador. So these people who, you know, these creators who were, you know, accepted as a program, you know, people are going to look at them and, you know, should any of them mess up, it's going to go back onto Facebook where it's like, oh, you chose this creator, you know, as a part of your creator program when they do this. So, you know, there's that relationship. There's that instance of it's like, you know, it's not just like Facebook saying, oh, well, we made this person, you know, a partner on our platform, and then they never speak to them ever again.
Right.
It's like that extra layer where it's like, yes, Facebook, this is what we need. I just need for you to explain why it's needed, because not a lot of people understand, and it's not looking too hot right now.
Absolutely, absolutely. And to kind of follow up with that, let's turn our attention to Apex Legends, who I like, very nice Black Lives Matter badge, very very nice, nice to give it for free, but like, still feels kind of weird, like just a little bit.
Another. I just feel like I'm very, like, not skeptical. That's not the word, that the correct word I want to use. It's just very, a lot of these, especially when it comes to, you know, companies, you know, supporting, you know, Black Lives Matter, diversity, any, you know, in any kind of group like that. It could be LGBT, it can be, you know, women. I just want to see more depth in the action. You know, because I feel like with this, it's, you know, the great part of it is that, you know, they're saying, yes, this is still, we're acknowledging this is an issue.
It is in the game.
Right. And it's in the game, and you can show it, you know, you can wear it proud. You can show your support. My thing with this is, especially with like gaming, you know, gaming development studios, is that, where will the moderation be when the players who support this emblem, who floss this emblem, when they start receiving the hate from the people, you know, who are against that?
Yes, because, absolutely.
Because I've already, you know, on my feed, there was like one creator where he's like, I received a lot of, you know, like hate and, you know, some really like nasty messages for support, for, you know, wearing that Black Lives Matter emblem. Of course, they're getting dealt with, you know, I believe he has a good relationship with Respawn. So they're taking care of it. But it's like, those are the thing I need companies, you know, especially game developers, I need for them to, you know, be aware of, to know that's what we want to see. Not only do I want to see you to have the support, but to say we are actively monitoring, you know, people, you know, looking at this emblem or wearing this emblem. Like, that's when you need people in the game. That's when you need your developers in the game, tuning into, you know, different streams or, you know, different play sessions, and see how your actual community is responding to these emblems. Because of course, right, if you're only looking at, you know, the people who are praising it, of course, yeah, that's good. That's the good praises. But I know for me, there's been, you know, there's other games like, you know, Bungie and Destiny 2 where they have those emblems. They have the Black Lives Matter emblem. They have the Pride emblem. But me personally speaking, I fear actually sporting those emblems, because I know that, you know, there's a good chance that when I get matchmade into, you know, a game, I'm going to receive hate. I'm going to receive hate. I'm going to receive harassment. And I don't have time for that. So it's like, you know,
incredibly true. Very, very true. I do try and take the flip side on that, in that I kind of revel in the fact that it's kind of pissing people off. Like, just a little bit, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely.
Just enjoy it a little bit. I love that. I know that there is some, like, I think his name is actually the one angry gamer or something like that, who has his like website where he talks about like, cancel culture sucks and leftists are evil and blah 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 blah, and he had like a thread of entertainers and gamers and streamers and companies who were like supporting the Black Lives Matter agenda and thus were traitors to America. Like, I feel it feels good to know that he's angry, just a little bit. So, insofar that I recognize the like absolute danger in
in having supporting the emblem on your profile or whatever, I also feel like that slight bit of like, why are you mad though? It doesn't make you angry.
I do agree with that. I do love when that happens, and it's like, if I had the energy.
Oh yeah,
the absolutely. Energy to combat that and be able to hold that conversation. Like, you know, if I were to start receiving harassment, it's like, well, what's wrong with it? What's wrong, you know, with me flashing this emblem? What's wrong with supporting LGBT, you know, Q communities? Mm-hmm. What's wrong with supporting, you know, the Black Lives Matter movement? And the amount of ignorant answers that caused, I don't have the time for it. It'd be different. Yeah,
no, you're absolutely right.
It'd be completely different if it's just, you know, they're like, you know, I actually want to have a conversation because I don't understand. And this is how I feel. And I just want to understand why, you know, why this is important. Like, everyone says this is important. This is how I feel. But I just want to know. I feel like a lot of people, you know, who are against, you know, Black Lives Matter, and they're just uneducated, but they have no intent to be educated. Therefore, they're not willing to have that conversation, or if they are, it's to demean, it's to degrade. And I just can't. I'm not going to invest any emotional energy into having that sort of like sensitive conversation only for me to waste my time. And so, and that's just for me, where it's like, okay, I can only do so much as, you know, like an individual, you know, because as everyone says, you know, do your part, use whatever power, influence, your voice, use that. And I'm like, could I get some help? I'm a nobody. Yeah. Like, right. I'm pretty sure, you know, Respawn is going to come a lot clearer coming from you. If they were to be like, well, I give Respawn my money, da da da, and for them to be like, we don't care, we don't want your money, we mm-hmm. want sensible people, you know, playing our game, enjoying our content, mm-hmm. we don't give a care about your little $10, $20 that you put to a free-to-play game. Like, that coming from a company means so much more than me, at least in my opinion. It comes a lot clearer than for me to try to have a conversation and say, well, it impacts my life, and, you know, this is important, and, you know, messing up the words.
No, you're absolutely right. You are 100% right. It does help to have the backing of the company, like a full-throated 1,000% the backing mm-hmm. of the company, rather than trying to put up the good fight on your own. You're absolutely mm-hmm. right.
Right.
That being said, I can tell you which company does not have your back. It is Activision. Because, as we said earlier, Activision Blizzard has called. This story's weird, because it seems like there are people within Activision who do want to adopt diverse hiring practices, but they like will not do it. So it's very confusing, but. The proposal essentially says, like, you know, hire non-white people. Like, that's it. that's it in a nutshell. But Activision seems to kind of be, they kind of seem to be fighting it. They have lawyers that say that the proposal seeks to, quote, micromanage the way that the publisher handles its hiring strategies. A spokesperson said, our hiring practices are rooted in ensuring diversity for all roles. We engage in this aggressively and successfully. So, I mean, they are acknowledging that they already have some kind of practice in place to hire diverse people. But the proposal, which is called the Rooney Rule, is invasive somehow. And I don't know, in my mind, if it's just a proposal, you just say, yeah, sure, fine, and then you go about doing what you've been doing anyway. But instead they're making like a huge deal about it.
Here's the thing, because what gets me about this, and this isn't a bittersweet, you know, what I was saying before for like Facebook and Apex.
Mm-hmm.
The run, and I read this as, it says, the Rooney Rule is an NFL policy requires teams interview at least one non-white, non-male candidate for coaching positions.
Mm-hmm.
Interview.
Right.
Interview is just to have a conversation for consideration for a job.
Right.
And you guys are telling me you can't have that conversation? You can't make sure... Like, really, you can't make sure that, you know, you're speaking to, you're having a conversation with, you know, with someone of a non-secular group, or I'm not sure if I'm even using that word correctly, but like, like, seriously, it's literally just a conversation. And my thing is, and, you know, as they said, it's like, in fact, our hiring practices are rooted in ensuring diversity for all roles. It's again, it's like tying it back to, you know, what we were talking before with Ninja. If you guys are already doing what you said that you're doing, then you don't say, hey, we're having a problem of implementing this because it's, you know, it's encroaching on our things. It's unworkable. Then just say we already have adopted a set of standards for ourselves to ensure that, you know, we're making sure that our company is as diverse as possible. Like seriously, come on, because at least to me, it's like, okay, what you're saying and then what you're doing and then what people are asking you to do and your response there, something's not right. So something's not adding up, and which is why we're having the conversation today. Because at least for me, again, an interview is a conversation.
It's nothing. It's absolutely nothing. And you're absolutely right, because like they say, they said it. The lawyers said it. They already have practices in place. So all you're doing now, if anything, right, is adding or tweaking that a little bit to make sure that there's one person who gets an interview. Like,
hey,
hello, where's the problem here? I don't see it. I don't understand. Make it make sense. It's not making sense. And now you're spending all this money on lawyers and fighting a proposal, by the way, and losing money, I'm assuming. Like, this can't be, you can't recoup anything from this. This is not a recuperable expense here. This is losing money to fight something you're already doing anyway.
Right. And I mean, I think, you know, for, you know, major companies, it's like, you know, what they spend for, because, you know, it's not, I would assume that it's not, you know, it's not as if they hired like a set of new different lawyers to tackle this issue. Like, you know, once you reach a certain, you know, certain size, you got lawyers like on the spot. So if anything, they're like, well, let's spend some attention on this. But, you know, it's just like, it's not
a quota.
Right. It's not as if it's like, a, you know, the, like Biden just signed into new place that all companies need to follow by, you know, need to follow the Rooney Rule. That nothing like that happened. I'm not sure where it was introduced. Maybe it was someone internal that was like, hey, you know, this proposal, you know, a lot of other companies have adopted it and, you know, they've seen success with it. You know, maybe we should do, you know, we should, you know, really look at this and take this into consideration.
Right.
But again, I am still stuck on the interview. It's like, you know, and you hear so many different, like, you know, different studies and, you know, different stories about where it's like, hey, I put a name on a resume. You know, I don't use my real name because I don't get any response. You know, it's either if it's very like ethnic or, you know, it's, you know, people have prejudices with when it comes to even just a name, you know, mm-hmm. So some of them have to change their name, lie on, you know, like those, you know, those questions at the end of like surveys where it's like, okay, disclose your race, you know, your gender and all that. Some mm-hmm. people resort to, you know, lying about that or not answering that on the concept that, you know, if I don't answer that, I'm more likely to secure an interview. And that's the thing. It's like the interview is that first person. I just, it just, I can't fathom it, because it's like the interview is what really, you know, helps you get to know and understand a person. If you don't read someone's name and you see like their qualifications, you should want to have that conversation. And they could have set that in there. You know, it's like if your resume is really good, of course we want to have that conversation because we want the best for our company. We don't want to limit it to, you know, and this is me just, you know, like going off and like there's just so many things they could have said. You know, it's like, you know, we don't want to simply just bring someone in because of, you know, their race or anything. We want to make sure that, you know, in complement to, you know, their, you know, whatever diverse, you know, section that they align with, that, you know, they have the skills to back it up, you know, that. And yeah, right. I mean, I'm sure like an answer like that would have, you know, caught some fire as well. But it's like, you know, at the end of the day,
it's a cleaner answer.
Right, right. And it's like, for me, I understand that at the end of the day, it's a company, it's a business, mm-hmm. you know, and I get that element of, you know, it's like, we don't just want to hire a person because of what they look like. You know, I feel like in a traditional company, you know, whether or not you've experienced it, but we have some stories of the only reason why that person got hired is because he's related to, you know, so-and-so. And we all know how that person works, you know, if they even work at all, you know. So it's like, I understand that whole concept of, you know, hiring someone just based off of optics. But also when you're saying, hey, well, we don't want to do that, you're not bringing anything substantial to the conversation. Just like, mm-hmm. well, here's, you know, here's something that you can do to, you know, help make sure that, you know, racial diversity and, you know, in terms of, you know, racial diversity, you know, gender diversity and everything, to make sure it's improved. Your answer is no, we're not doing that because we don't like it. We don't like the way that that works. And it's like,
right.
Y'all don't sound good.
No, not at all.
And right. Which, and it sucks because it's just like Activision is the company that, you know, well, they're like the overseers of, you know, like Call of Duty. And one of the mm-hmm. major things that they did that was very surprising was, I mean, of course, it was in response to, you know, George Floyd. But when they were like, here are the things of what we're going to do in terms of like harassment on our platform, what we hear when you're playing Call of Duty, you know, the 8 minutes of, you know, the Black Lives Matter things, like in the actual like Call of Duty game that they did, was just like so powerful. And, you know, some people say it's performative, but I'm like, it may be performative, but for a title like Call of Duty and for the people who play that game, that meant a lot. So mm-hmm. so that's like one of those good instances of, you know, performative action, if you will. But it's just unfortunate that, you know, now that action of those development studios is now shrouded in the major company, the major publisher, saying things like, we can't interview diverse people because it messes our system up.
Right. It doesn't make it make sense. That's all you got to do.
Make it make sense.
Well, we've got to wrap it up. We have to. It is a requirement of this show that we wrap it up. So answer this last question for me. How do you think all communities progress from here?
I mean, from here, it's at this point, it's just more education. I feel like mm-hmm. with everything that's been going on, there's a big importance on making sure that you're getting educated on yourself. And that's, you know, not just for, you know, racial diverse, like racial injustices, racial sensitivities and all that, but just, you know, it even spreads now to, you know, like politics, you know, make sure that you're getting educated, you know, from multiple sources, not just one source, not just one, you know, echo chamber where it's like, hey, I have this, you know, feeling and everyone I follow agrees with me. Like, you know, search for those things where, you know, you wouldn't dare go to because, you know, they hold a different opinion. It's all about education, I feel like, especially, you know, in these times now. So get educated, and from there, you know, form your own opinion, you know, because that's the great thing about being in America. Mm-hmm. You are entitled to your opinion, whether or not you believe it or not. Some countries, some people aren't entitled to their own opinions.
Can you believe it?
I can't. Like, when I realize that, like, I say that all the time, but then when I actually realize it, where it's like, there's some countries out there where you're not allowed to have a different thought. Like, that is punishable. So, you know, just get educated. Make sure that the decisions that you're, you know, you're making, you know, and the thought process behind it is rooted in fact, and not just, well, this is what I feel, and, you know, I'm just going to go on, you know, go on with that, you know? That's the only thing I can think about how communities progress, you know, just get educated. You know, there's a reason why, you know, knowledge is, well, they say knowledge is power, and why, you know, some people want to take that away. You know, that, that access to information is so important, especially nowadays. And there has to be a reason why some people out there, you know, are resistant to it and want to limit it. So.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You hear that? Will says go read a fucking book. So
read two for good measure.
So let's wrap up the show. Give us a quick recommendation for a game, and also give us your plugs, man.
Oh, well, I mean, you know, Apex Legends, you know, as we were talking about, you know, Respawn and Apex Legends with the badge, they just recently came out with an update. Again, I've been getting back into it, you know, to make sure that I can, you know, get secure some wins and, you know, be the esports star that I so desperately dream of becoming one day, maybe, I don't know. But yeah, I've been having fun with that. So I guess that's my plug this time, my game plug this time. And then in terms of like where you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at One Solo Player. I do stream, and you can actually go to onesoloplayer.com, and that will direct you to my Facebook stream. I have plans with that to actually like make a website, but until that, the easiest way to find me, if you don't want to type in like the full like stream title and everything, onesoloplayer.com, take you where you need to go.
Very good. Very good. Well, make sure you do all of that, listener, because you gotta read your book, go to onesoloplayer.com, and follow Will on all the things. The other thing you gotta do, be sure to follow me on Twitter at CommieJaceGaming. Yes. And also the Weekly Cooldown on Twitter at WKCooldown. You can visit the Facebook page. There's been people liking it lately, so I guess people are paying attention to it. I'm not, but you know, you can do it. It's fine. Visit WKCooldown.com for more news and other episodes. Be sure to leave a review or a comment on Apple Podcasts. Please do it. It really helps with the show. You can also leave a review on Podchaser. Podchaser is a wonderful website to leave a review on. Be sure to check out the links in the description, including, of course, the Humble Bundle for this week. You can support your charities, all the favorite charities, and support this show. Our logo and art is by Corgi and of Doghouse Esports. Follow him at Doghouse Corgian on Twitter. Our intro music is done by Zach Breider of Captive Portal. That's all for the Weekly Cooldown. I'm Commie Jace.
And I am Willie.
And we'll see you next week. Thanks, everyone.
Bye-bye.